Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We're Baltimore Positive. We are positively in one of my favorite places in Baltimore, and not just because it's my cousin's place. We're here at Gertrude's. Gert's having, some people had crab cakes. I had the catfish with the shrimp Creole, because I like King Creole. It's my favorite Elvis movie. And I had the grits, and the best collard greens in the history of the world. We're here for lunch today. So I'm 64 days in. I had the best meal of the year so far, but I'm going places next week. Chris Reel is here. Right. Vanessa Eskridge is here. We're here at Gertrude Saul on behalf of our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have two different kinds of scratch-offs of Harlem Globetrotters. I'm going to be giving these away, not just to Chris and Vanessa, but to everybody here today. It's the first batch I've had these.
All right.
They're giving me these Maryland. You'll like this, Chris, because it's a Maryland thing. They had a Maryland theme last year, artists.
Yeah.
So they drew, there are four different ones that are going to be the winners of real Maryland artists doing real Maryland stuff. And it all happens this week at the Fair and Farm Show and all that stuff. So happy lotterying to you.
Cool.
Hey, hey, I had $100 winner Coco's last month, so it does happen. We're here on behalf of my friend, and I'm looking here. I got my reading glasses on. No Mean City, Baltimore, 1966. Mm-hmm. I had Dan in this space about 90 days ago, and he's powdering himself right now, getting ready for all these performances. And his son's coming, so that's good. We're going to talk fly fishing with Nick and County Roads and whatnot. You've done tourism. You've been on my show before.
Yes, sir.
And when I said to Dan, who I knew was going to punk out on me today, I'm like, I want Will Schwarz. I did 40 minutes with Will Schwarz on Zoom today. Now, Will did my television show in 1998 with Buddy Ryan and Lawrence Taylor, so that was its own thing. And then Dan's kid's coming on, and that's cool, and I'm getting him. And Chris, I know, through tourism and whatever. And Ron Cassie's coming over to talk about Baltimore baseball with me. But Dan's like, you got to get Vanessa Esker. She's going to be the best. She's going to be the best guest you're going to have. And the first thing I thought is she related to Neil Eskridge, the old reporter?
Oh, well, my husband is, I can't say the direct relation, but my father-in-law is from Baltimore, and I think they are the uncle, cousin, something. Yes, there is a, it's not blood relation here, but my,
it's not Archie Bunker, but it's all in the family.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like me and John Shields.
I mean, I didn't know that. That's exciting.
My son married his cousin.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're a lucky person.
So, I mean, my God. And he's going to be coming by with more catfish, hopefully, a little later on. All right. So, Dan said that you would be an ideal guest. And, Chris, I knew you were going to be an ideal guest. And, ideally, this table wouldn't have had folks getting that delicious peanut cake here and would have had you separately. So, I'm glad to have you together.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
I think the pathway for Dan, we're all related to Dan in some weird way. I mean, I met Dan 40 years ago. I told Will this. As a kid, I was 17 years old, and I got hired at the newspaper. Mm-hmm. And Dan had been on television, and he was so charismatic, you know, even at that point in my life, that I wanted to be Dan. And when you're in the newsroom and you got balls the size of mine, I just walk up to anybody. And I just went up and said, hi, Dan Rogers. I'm Nestor. I want to be you. Will you take me for coffee? Sure, kid. You want to meet me over there? We'll have a sandwich together.
That's a good Dan.
That's pretty good.
So I can play Dan in the next one if
you want. Yes, you can.
So
you can understudy.
Dan doesn't remember this, but he took me to a little sandwich shop on Calvert Street toward the harbor. So I guess, you know, southbound on Calvert Street, about a block two away. It's gone, long gone. Dan took me there. We had a turkey sandwich for lunch. So you want to be a star, huh? You know, and that was, so this is, I mean, Dan's a famous guy on TV, taking me to lunch, and I'm just a Cubs junior to the assistant interns. Dan's, you know, and then Dan would act every year. Our editor-in-chief, Jack Lemmon, would have a big pool party, Oktoberfest, because he's German. Mm. And it was beer, there was a band, and Dan would come every year with some Saturday Night Live skit. You know, he would do some 10 to 15-minute presentation. And Dan remembers what he did every year, but it always had something to do with William Donald Schaefer or Don DeNaldo. So that's my Dan journey. What about you? You just signed up to be an actor, right, basically?
Well, yeah. I've been doing community theater. We know each other through tourism, and I do city tours and speaking and all of that good stuff.
I've never seen you in anything other than an Oriole or Raven show.
Like, that's pretty much all I
own. Do you have anything? It's like an outfit.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, you're like Baltimore. Whatever you're wearing, it's Baltimore.
It's got to be. Got to represent.
I'm Baltimore Positive. It says so right here on the logo.
Everywhere, anywhere, all the time, always Baltimore. Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely my brand. And growing up here, I was a big fan of Dan. I remember watching the TV show. I actually called into his radio show when I was probably 10 or 11 years old when he was on WBAL a million years ago.
No kidding.
So, oh, yeah, yeah.
See, I don't know how old you are, so I'm trying to, like, and I don't know how old you are. I'm convinced I'm older than either one of you by a lot.
I think we're pretty close. I don't know.
But.
I mean, I graduated high school in 97.
Okay,
oh,
so
all right.
I'm a little contemporary. Older than you. But I was a guest on Dan's Kitschy Roderick's
the Roderick's for Breakfast,
which
with the old
Will
kitchen.
Schwartz yeah. was the producer for.
There you go.
Right? He was telling, and Will's going to be on the show. You're going to hear all that because he told a bunch of old stories. And so, how do you, where do you come at this?
So, Dan and I go way back, and I'll tell you, this is my first interaction with Dan, is that I moved to Baltimore in 2009. From New York City. I was not from here. I didn't know anything about Baltimore. And I started listening to WYPR. Mm-hmm. And I was always a huge NPR fan. And when I lived in New York City, I always applied for jobs at WNYC, which is the NPR affiliate in New York. And I would not even get a phone call, not even an email, nothing. So as I was getting to know Baltimore, I was listening to Midday with Dan Rodericks, and then I saw that there was an opening for a producer on the show. So I applied, and thinking, oh, I'm never going to hear back.
I told you she was in charge, right? So I knew she did radio. She's trying to hook equipment up. You're doing stuff here.
Well, right. So
every Dan
anyway,
and Nestor needs a Vanessa.
Yeah, that's true. Well, that's true. It may be true.
That's
right.
Very true.
That's right.
Yes.
So next thing I know, I get an email from Dan Rodericks. Not even HR. I get an email from Dan Rodericks saying, hey, you want to meet for coffee? And my first interview for that job was what's the coffee shop down in Fells Point?
Daily Grind.
Yep. And we met there, and I'm sitting there, and I'm all buttoned up and thinking that I have to be present myself, which obviously I do, because I could tell that I wanted to do this job. And he was exactly as Dan is. He was incredibly friendly. He wanted to fill this job. He's like, I'm just going to take care of it, you know. And the rest is history. I got hired to work on Midday with Dan Rodericks.
But you came late to the party, man.
I sure did. Man, I wasn't calling into his show. I never saw Rodericks for Breakfast, you know. But since 2009, we've been close. We worked together very closely. And then when you started doing theater, then I was first in line because I have a big theater background. So anyway, yes, I am late to the game, but I'm here for it.
So Dan went fly fishing with me 4 summers ago. I did 30 crab cakes in 30 days in 24 counties around the state. The tourism, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
I went from Swallow Falls to from Oakland to Ocean City, the Maryland Lottery, and you know, so I had a crab cake in every county.
Oh my God.
Don't get one in Montgomery County. You know,
I was
going to
say, what's the best? What's the best?
Well, they're all great, but the Eastern Shore has some benefits on that. You know,
sure.
Yeah.
You know, you go down to Tillman Island or you go down to Hooper's Island, you're just getting something different in the middle of August, you know, just in a general sense,
sure.
than even John could do here. I knew this could be an argument of crab cakes. I knew they would all be different, and that's why every crab cake's different. Everyone has their grandmother's recipe, and
yeah,
they're all the best,
yeah.
And they're all and they're all different.
It's an impossible question to answer.
So that's
I get
why
that all the time.
I don't answer
in
that.
Tourism.
Okay.
Who has the best crab cakes? And
I
I'm like,
you.
But I was trying to find reasons that would be interesting to do things I'd never done, and I had never been fly fishing, even though I had been to Montana and watched it on the side of the road, went to Yellowstone. I'm like, man, I'd love to do that. That would be cool. Dan said, I'll take you. Nick was his son, who's in the show, will be here a little later on, in Dan's steed. We'll take you fly fishing. So Dan met me in Williamsport, Luke, Maryland, at a McDonald's. And Eric Sauer, from There Goes My Hero, brought his son. And my wife and he are both bone marrow survivors.
Oh,
and so he brought his son, and they brought me. And I put my ass up against a rock because it was all slippery in these rubber things. And I just put my back against the rock, and I did, it was 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. You know, he's taught me 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. So, and I didn't catch any fish. I catch as many fish in that bowl of water there, goldfish. But we had the greatest day ever, and Dan told me he was like, I'm doing a production. I'm working on a thing. What's it going to be about? It's about Baltimore. Yeah, it's just, yeah, I'm going to tell you. So he doesn't tell me anything about it, and then tickets go on sale.
Huh.
Baltimore, you have no idea. I'm like, all right, Dan, get down to Fadley's. Nice crab cake there.
Mm-hmm.
Met me down at Fadley's, and he doesn't know what to make of me. And I wear him out on the air. Like, and I always say to him, dude, you did radio like 2-3 hours at a time. I didn't do it at your pace. I'm like, after 30 minutes, he looks like he needs to leave. Like, I, like when I'm done with him, he's ashen face. He really is. But I brought him to Fadley's, and we got to talking about it. And I got him to admit that the whole inspiration was Eric Bogosian. And he didn't know that I loved Eric Bogosian.
Right.
And I had seen Eric Bogosian at Center Stage many years ago, several times. And then I brought him Sex, Lies, and Videotape on a VHS cassette from the Eric Bogosian. So, I mean, I really had a vibe for what he was trying to do. And then my wife and I came down opening night, walked in here. It was cold as hell. We went over. It was 34th Street. The lights were going on, you know. We had some Ekeben, my favorite thing on earth, some broccoli. Stuff. And we came in here cold as hell and walked upstairs, and we sat down. He made me laugh. He made me cry. He made me laugh again. He made me cry again. I walked out of here. And down here in the lobby, I ran into half dozen people I knew. And I'm like, that might have been the greatest thing I've ever seen anybody I know do.
Yeah.
Like, literally.
It's special.
And then the next year, I bought 50 tickets.
Oh.
And I brought every person I know who would really appreciate the show. A lot of my clients, it was my Christmas friends, family, my son. We all ate Fadley's dinner in the conference room at the BMA, and I brought 50 people to the show, and then 35 of us closed the bar that night, Christmas time a year and a half ago.
Good times.
And everyone wanted Dan's email to write to him personally to tell him how great the show was. And then I missed the damn court thing because it happened and it blinked.
Yeah.
And then he put this thing together and came here 6 months ago. And I erroneously said George Wallace was a Republican because he sounded more like a Republican to me. But I can't wait to see this. So, I mean, I like, you got a script and you were involved from the beginning. Mm-hmm. So run me a little bit through. We were supposed to go tonight to the dress rehearsal.
Oh, I didn't know that, but that's
no,
all right.
No. we had a series of events today, including an REM concert up in Philadelphia
oh.
tonight. So there's some
what?
Things going on.
All right. Well, when are you coming?
Never a dull
I don't
moment.
Know. If I check my email from the ticket guy, I'm going to find out.
Right.
I may
All
let
right.
you know. So tell yeah. me what he won't tell me about. And it's sold out. So, I mean, I'm stupid here promoting it, right? I'm promoting something nobody can see. But I can't wait to see it.
Well, I do think there are a few tickets that might have just become available.
Yeah.
So if anybody listening
That's
wants
right.
to give it a shot, you can go to youhavenoidea.org.
This weekend and next weekend.
Yep.
And
yep.
see
yep.
what you can find.
Yep.
How many shows are there?
Quick.
A dozen about?
Yeah, 9 or 10.
Nine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. All right.
With a matinee for school students
yep.
next week, which is really exciting. So
did both of you get the script? You had the script longer because you were involved in it,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you saw the script when?
Yeah. I don't know. A long
Fall,
time ago.
Long time
yeah,
ago.
Last year.
Last year.
Well, when
okay.
you started working on it, yeah. I mean, I definitely saw the first drafts.
Well, he told me he was overtly political, you
yeah.
know, and it,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, different
yeah.
than him being, he told me he was a lead character, but not the protagonist. So
yeah, which is different
really
from
know.
His other mm-hmm. shows. I
yeah.
mean, he is the narrator and the storyteller of the other plays, but he is Dan Roderick's in those plays, and it's about his firsthand reporting. This is archival stuff for him because it takes place in 66, which is before Dan was here. And there's a lot of actually, you see that it's has a presence in the show. There's a lot of archival footage and there's newspaper headlines and stuff that are projected that are the backdrop of this story.
Yeah.
And it tells the story of what was going on in 1966 in Baltimore in the summer. You had the Orioles who were on their way rocketing up, winning the pennant and, you know, spoiler alert, winning the World Series. But at the same time, you had a lot of unrest kind of brewing in the city politically. And you had this moderate Republican mayor, Theodore McKeldin, who was mayor. He had been mayor before. He had been governor. He was a long time.
Was he one of them rhinos?
Yeah. I don't know
I
if
guess that's
I'm
what you call him
to
today.
Yeah.
But he was a he was our
I'm going Sunday.
Man,
I just got my
guy.
Ticket order. I'm
oh, there
going
you go.
Sunday,
all right,
2
we'll
o'clock.
Do,
I'm
good
going.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there, that's what I'm going to
yeah.
do.
Yeah. Well, we won't give it all away for you. But, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
You'll have the hang of it by Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
have it figured
yeah.
out by then. No, yeah, he was a really, really great principled politician. He actually endorsed LBJ in that election. He wasn't going to endorse Goldwater. He was very much out in front of civil rights. He saw the future of the harbor. He had a lot of these big ideas. And so just learning more about his character was really, really interesting. And for me, I did a audition for a group called Small Stages, where you go and just read a monologue, and there's a bunch of people in the audience and they record it, and you don't know what's going to come your way. And same thing, I got an email from Dan Rodericks, and I was like, whoa, what is this? And I had no, I didn't know what
and
the play was. I knew who Dan Rodericks was.
You have done community theater. Where have you done?
I'm in Columbia at Silhouette Stages. I've done Kinky Boots and The Wedding Singer and a show called Puffs, which was like a Harry Potter satire. So, I mean, I've done this kind of thing recently, but to get an email from Dan Rodericks, I didn't even know what the show was about. I didn't even know he was working on something new. And then when I learned that this is a show about Baltimore in 1966, so that's my favorite thing, Baltimore, history. And oh, by the way, the Orioles are involved. And oh, by the way, I'd like you to read for Brooks Robinson. I was like, this can't be real. Are you kidding? And it's been a journey ever
since. So you're Brooks Robinson.
Nick and I both play Brooks. We're splitting the run. So you're going to see Nick on Sunday.
Nick is Dan's son. Nick just texted me. He's on his way over.
Awesome.
He'll be here today.
All right.
So I'm looking forward to having him on, too. I've never had him on.
He's awesome.
10 o'clock, 2 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I'm going to do a little 5-fish
interview. Yeah, you guys can do a little 5-fish interview.
So, you know, I told Dan this, and the McKeldin part's interesting because anytime I'm ever with Bill at Fadley's, who's getting older in life now, when they ripped that plaza down, the fountain that was McKeldin, he lost his mind because he knew him from that era, from the 60s at Lexington Market, and thinks of him in a saintly, sort of one of the great citizens to ever be from Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, literally.
The good news is they got rid of the fountains, but it's still called McKeldin Square. They actually have a nice little memorial down there.
I don't know what it's all going to be.
You
know, I lived at the Harbor for 20 years at Harbor City. Like, I'm doing Baltimore Positive, and I hope that I live long enough and I can do this show long enough to be there when they open the Harbor the next time. Because I fell into the Harbor the night they opened in 81. So, yeah. But, Vanessa, I bring a sports name up for your family and say Eskridge. And say, that means something here because of Neil. And I knew him as a young reporter.
Yeah.
1983, 84. And he covered my cousin. And my cousin, I know they didn't get along. I know that from both sides.
Oh, wow.
From the reporter side of things. So my cousin was on the 66 Orioles and Hall of Famer.
Oldest guy on the team.
Yes, that's right. There's a reference to that, yes.
You like that?
Yeah, you'll see. You'll see. End the show.
I can't wait. All right, now I'm really into this. But nonetheless, the reason I'm literally here is because Louis Aparicio came to Baltimore and brought my cousin, and I'm the offspring.
Yeah.
So I am enamored with the 66 thing, even though I'll admit I was born in 68.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how old I am.
All right.
So everything about that era to me needs to be told to me by a storyteller. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or in pictures or in black and white or in any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm even more titillated by it than I would be if it was, say, the 59 Colts or something that, you know, my dad told me about all of this stuff. But I can't wait to hear not just Dan's interpretation, but I know Dan to be a real journalist, and who, what, why, what we're going to get here is going to be factual.
Absolutely.
I know that.
These are all real people and some real quotes.
Yeah.
So you saw the script first. What did you make of it? Did you know all of this?
No, not at all. I mean, I am not a Baltimorean man. And it's funny because when I worked for YPR and I worked with Dan, that was my crash course in learning about Baltimore and Maryland and politics and history. And I knew that 68 was not a great time for Baltimore.
No, it's pretty good. I came along. It's pretty good other than that.
Oh, sorry, know. Sorry.
Church
Nestor,
Home Hospital,
yes.
October.
Besides
if ice comes up, just let him know. That's where I was. So. I'm Venezuelan, so you have to ask.
All right. But it was this learning. This script has a lot of information that you are going to get educated for sure. But what's so great about it is that Dan is, as you know now from seeing Baltimore, you have no idea. He really has a knack for telling a story on the stage. And these parallel stories of what's going on with the Orioles and Frank Robinson coming to the Orioles. Kind of partnering with Brooks Robinson, that kind
and
of...
And race being a big part of that.
Race
for sure.
Being a big part of it. And then you had Theodore McKeldin, who was trying to push through, you know, the Civil Rights Act had passed, but people locally were not recognizing it. And there was not fair housing. And Frank Robinson couldn't get a nice house in Baltimore. He was facing this discrimination that, you know, I think certainly Theodore McKeldin was hoping we had gotten past. So he was working with all of these people and all of these leaders, these activists, to try to usher in this civil rights era that the city needed so much. And so anyway, it's there was a lot going on, and there's a lot. It's you'll come away having learned quite a lot.
I can't wait to see what the hook is on this, because damn, with those damn Christmas trains the first time that got me,
that's a good one.
I mean, that was, you know, I mean, I didn't tell anybody. When I brought these 50 people the next year, I'm like, look, here's a ticket. I'm giving you tickets. I'm giving you crab cakes. You say you love me, and it's Christmas time. You know. John had the gingerbread thing going on up in here.
I know,
had it all happening.
It's great.
And I brought them all down, and I didn't tell them anything about. You know, I just said, "It's a cool story about Baltimore. You'll like it. It's, you know, it's Baltimore. You have no idea, huh?"
Yeah.
And it won me over, and not just away because of Dan, but it made me want to be the person that takes what I'm doing, say, come see these shows. Not just support local theater, not just support Dan, not just come to the BMA because the price is right, or come to Gertrude's because my cousin owns it.
Yeah.
But because, like, these are good things that are happening. Is Baltimore positive? Yeah. Telling Baltimore stories.
Because
if
for sure.
people like Dan aren't telling those stories, or people like me aren't telling them, or people like you, who you're Mr. Baltimore, when I think, like, seriously, if I had 10 people I wanted to call up and say, I want to do some Baltimore stuff, you would be among them, because you've led tours and you are an outwardly pro-Baltimore person. 100%. You're a Baltimore positive person from 100%. The beginning. And we could talk about McKeldin this, or the harbor that, or the Renaissance that I went by, and I went through the harbor the other day, and there's things missing and things. But, like, we ain't quitting on it. At least I'm not quitting on it. I know that Dan's not. No, none of us are quitting on it.
Definitely not, yeah.
And this is part of digging in, is saying, we've been through some tough shit before. Let's... I'm thinking there's going to be a hook that's going to make this. And then Harbor Place came, and the Orioles moved to Camden Yards, and we lived happily. And then Trump was elected, and mayors went to prison, and the city caught fire in Frederick. I'm hoping that at the end there is some level of, well, Nestor was born 2 years later, and he had a pretty good life here. And it's been 50 years into this, and some things suck, but we love it anyway, which is part of the Baltimore experience.
What's really interesting to me, how relevant this still is.
Oh, yeah.
And how we are still trying to reckon with some of these same challenges that we had way back in 1966.
I ain't coming down to the city to see the Orioles anymore. I live in Harford County, and I don't go down to city anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
like, I hear that kind of thing. And I'm like,
I do too.
I'm going to end that.
It's funny because some of these lines, and we're talking about this is set in 1966, but it could almost as easily be set right now. When if you don't know who the characters are and who they're talking about, you could very easily think, oh, I know exactly who they're talking about or what they're talking about. And so that's really, really important. And that's why history is so important, and why I love what I do, because contextualizing where we've been helps us understand where we are and helps us get to where we want to be.
Have a vision for where the future might be.
Yep.
Yeah,
because the city's been 100 different things, for fires. But, I go down to the CFG Bank Arena, and I think about seeing the Clippers play at the Civic Center, or seeing, Sean Cassidy in 1978. there is something about, and I remember hearing Joe Ehrman, former Colt, talk about the theology of a space, that when I go by Memorial Stadium here, I tell John Hoey all the time, I love you, John. I love the Y, but, like, it still is a little piece of me that breaks when you go by places that aren't what they used to be.
Yeah.
And as we sit here in Gertrude's here today, in the middle of the BMA, next to Hopkins, 3 minutes from where Memorial Stadium was, where a lot of this activity happened, I see the city in a different light when I come in. When I drove down, I drove Black Raven on the way down here today. I think the city's coming back, and I feel good about that part of it.
Yeah.
I feel like we're, and Ron Cassie wrote about this, he'll be my guest, a renaissance. But you're an out-of-towner, so you're like, you see it through a different prism than maybe my wife who got here in 03, or who visited before that, or Dan who got here in the 70s,
I mean, that is for sure. But I also feel like, and I have to credit Dan a lot with it kind of indoctrinating me. What I love about Dan's perspective on Baltimore is that he talks about it warts and all, and he's very reasonable about it, but he's such a champion. And so I kind of seeing Baltimore through his eyes actually really helped me understand the city on a level I think I wouldn't otherwise, as being an out-of-towner and just kind of being a transplant. And I live here. We have three kids. We're raising them here. They're from Maryland, so It's pretty special. But I've been here a while now too, so I see these trends that you're talking about, and you know.
Freddie Gray to mayors and going to jail to COVID to Trump. Doing everything, the key bridge. We've been through it.
Yeah,
we've really been through it.
Really,
I mean, really been through it. And that's why you wear this Orioles top, and I'm Ravens, and I'm writing a FU to John Harbaugh today, amongst other things. But I mean, I've been through it dealing with out of towners coming in here and taking my media pass away because they just don't understand the city. They don't, especially these people that own the Orioles now. They're like just. They lost 500,000 people last year. And I would say this for the show, and I'm looking at Brooks and Frank, and nobody loved me more than Brooks. Brooks treated me like family because he loved Louie. Now, Frank and I had a more, adversarial relationship. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't awesome. And I see those guys, and I think Baltimore and how I fought to get Baltimore back on the road jerseys when Angelos thought we were Washington's team, and we lost the Colts and when I worked with Dan, and we fought to get the Ravens back. And there are people that got imported to Baltimore in 2009 that have no association with the Colts, no association with the fact that the Ravens were not gifted to us. We had to, like, put a lot of money, a lot of heart. We had to steal a team.
Yeah.
We had to, like, so the sports part of that, for the heartbeat as an Aparicio and a guy that's invested in sports, this story about how sports can lift a city and change a city and be part of that, I know that's glued in to No Mean City. I know it's built in there. It's built into my first book in Purple Rain 1. It's built into Purple Rain. It was built into 58 and 59 with the Colts because when these things happen, they really mark moments in time. I don't know about the Flacco thing because I'm a little older and you know I wasn't 12 when it happened and what that's going to mean for sports.
Yeah.
But the Orioles are still eating off of Louie and Brooks and Frank and Boog in a large way, and it changes everything about how people can relate to each other, black and white, rich and poor, when we have a parade. And that goes for any city.
Sure.
Well, 100%. You could be cynical about it and say, you know, sports isn't real life, and that's actually a line that we hear in this play that, you know, you can't, it's not so simple, you know, but there's really something hugely powerful about an entire city and region being lifted.
Winning.
Yeah. I mean,
So much winning. Bigly.
But, you know, it really is important. And, you know, all eyes being on Baltimore in that time because everybody was watching the Orioles. And it was this incredible story. And you can't help but just be so joyful when you
little
see
Baltimore
people winning.
Little Baltimore.
Yes.
Big New York.
Drysdale and Sandy Koufax on the mound. I mean, you know, it was nobody gave Baltimore a chance. And I think there's a metaphor in that, too. So
yeah, well, then my dad lived. I was born in 68 and things went downhill. You know, Mets beat the Orioles.
Well, we're not going to talk about 69.
We're just going to cement into 1966.
Yeah, my dad didn't like 69. He liked 66 a lot better.
Yeah.
Chris Reel is my guest. Vanessa Eskridge. Not Etheridge. Melissa Etheridge.
That's right.
Eskridge.
Yeah.
That's easy
no
for me
relation.
To say because I knew Neil, you know. So
that's right. That's so wild. Of course you knew Neil. That's great.
Well, that... She's trying to green room me because she's done radio. What are you going to do? And I am the prictologist of never, because I don't know what's going to come out of this mic.
Yeah, that's right.
Nobody would listen if they knew what I was going to say, right? I mean, it wouldn't be any fun, but you were concerned. And I didn't do a lot of research on you at all. I just thought, like, she's Dan's girl. Yeah, Benji, she's going to be a great guest. And we're going to talk about what we're going to talk about. But I do think that the beginning of what I came at was how Dan comes at you and where you found Dan.
Yeah.
Because you either found Dan on television, you found him in the 7-Eleven buying a paper, you found him over coffee in your doctor's office, you found him at later on in more intelligent platforms of YPR and WBAL in the early 80s. He was sort of the guy walking the street, as Will Schwarz and I talked about. That's how long Will has known him.
Yeah.
That this metamorphosis of him, and I've told him this, and he hates hearing this from me because he's like a mentor to me, and he burrs up and blushes up and like he doesn't like my praise at all, you know, just the way he is, and especially me being a 17-year-old kid that he took out for a sandwich, who's tried to figure things out over the last 40 years and follow in his footsteps, but. When I was out fly fishing with him and he's talking about, I'm going to do a show, I'm going to do a play, I'm going to do a thing. And then I remembered him in the backyard at Jack Lemmon's house acting and being in that space. I just knew it would be great. You know, I just knew, like, he's going to put a lot, he's seen a lot of theater, he's put a lot of thought into this. And you said something that I want to piggyback because I did act as a kid in My Fair Lady, and I was in shows, so I know
how hard this is. I'd love to see a recording of that.
Yeah, you got to be in the next one.
I'll show you my Oliver. It's on. Right. It's online. My
All
Oliver.
Right. Yes.
Me singing, Consider Yourself, and I Do Anything.
The best.
As a 13-year-old. I was the Artful Dodger. Come on now.
Nice.
Of course
Top
you were.
Damn right I was. I got cast type is where they looked at me and knew I was evil. So I've been in plays. I've done summer production. I've done high school, middle school. One of my mentors, Calvin Staten, still alive, 86. I brought him to the show. I brought him
nice
to see that story 2 years ago. And I know how hard it is to, like, put a script together, soup to nuts, even when it's already a written show, mm-hmm. and there's music and all that. But to write it soup to nuts, to get you to check off, actors to check off, everybody figuring it out, then once we get here, and certainly by Sunday when I see it, about the fifth show, mm-hmm. you guys will have it all together. But I know how hard it is, and I knew Dan would be great at it. So for that, I am, like, if Tom Cruise were at this week, I wouldn't care about going to a movie or whatever. This is a big deal to me to see Dan put this on and to see how it's going to turn out, hon. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't wait.
I think you're going to like it.
Am I going to like it more than
I don't know.
Baltimore? You have no idea?
It's different from Baltimore. Different you have no idea. Yeah. It's this one is, I don't know. There's a lot more. In Baltimore, You Have No Idea is obviously there's episodic. You know, we're talking about it tells an overarching story, but it's columns that come to life, right? It's a one-man show with seven actors, right? That's what we call it.
There was corruption,
right?
There was murder, there was family, there was race, there was all
yeah,
that.
There was all that. And this one is, you know, we're peering into these characters a little bit more deeply, right? Where we get to know, we see Brooks and Frank, we see their relationship, you know, we see McKeldin's struggles at the in City Hall, but also you see what his ambitions are. We meet all of these historical figures that were really pushing the city in different ways, and
flexing power
yeah. or wishing they had more power, right. You know, and so you see the character of the city like you do in Baltimore, You Have No Idea, in a different way. It's just different. It's
well,
great, though.
I saw a show that maybe you're familiar with, Network. You familiar with the movie Network?
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Madison.
So it was playing up in New York on Broadway, and who's the famous actor? I'm terrible.
George Clooney?
No, it wasn't Clooney. The one that was in the... He was on television. Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
Took me a minute. Cranston did Network on Broadway, and I saw Network as an 8-year-old child. My parents shouldn't have taken me to an R-rated movie, but they did. Faye Dunaway, William Holden, the whole deal. And, you know, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore, right?
Yeah.
And you remember that your whole life, right? And I went on Broadway right before the play. I guess 18 or 19, it was in that period of time. And Kranz is one of the biggest stars in the world. It was a really tough ticket. And I scored a couple tickets up in the mezzanine, halfway up, for a couple $100 or something within our range. And we made a Broadway night. My wife and I never do that. And my wife knew nothing about Network. She had never seen the movie, any of that. And we went. Now, you know, Trump's running the world at the time, right? So it's about Russian espionage and media being taken down and media lies and media being usurped by the Russians and rich people to put the anchor out to not speak truth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we walked out of there that night. First off, I've been to 27 Super Bowls. The night with Cranston at Network on Broadway, I mean, it was... I've done 100 nights with Springsteen. It was it was a memorable night.
Wow.
But the thing I took out of it more than the movie, or not having seen the movie in 50 years probably, 45 years, whatever it was, and my wife having never saw it, is that, holy shit, that feels like it was written this summer. Yeah. Like, that's written for right now,
That's the power of live theater, and that's the power of a really good story. Because is relevant and it resonates no matter when you're actually taking it in.
I'm glad I'm going Sunday. Yeah. I'm fired up now because I'm going to be working into this. Tickets, a couple tickets, maybe a handful of tickets.
I think if you go to the website, you can see what happens.
Baltimore, You Have No Idea, is that where it is?
YouHaveNoIdea.org, right?
Yes, YouHaveNoIdea.org. But I also am going to do a plug because we're doing Baltimore, You Have No Idea again in December. So you can come back and buy 50 more tickets for your nearest and dearest and come and see it again because we're doing it in December. So if
Dan threatened to video it or tape it.
Yeah, we did video it, yeah.
But you're never...
I don't know. You have to talk to Will Schwartz about that because he's in charge.
He's got the master tape.
I've never seen it.
And you are what to this show? The executive something something? What are you? What are you? Your producer?
This show, I'm directing it.
Directing.
I'm directing this show, yeah. I was in Baltimore, you have no idea.
But, well.
Yeah.
I want you to direct me. I like you.
Okay.
I knew I was going to like you.
So listen, you're going to be in our next show. And who do you want to be? You'll be the Artful Dodger.
I want you to be the producer of my show. That's what I want you to do.
All right. We'll work on it. We'll work on it.
Yeah.
I'm sure. You seem like you'd be great on stage. So I think that's a
sell. I would be absolutely horrible because I wouldn't be able to remember lines.
Are you directable, though?
Yeah, right. Do you take notes? Chris is great. He takes notes.
I've been and shall do whatever the script says to do, but then I'll forget the words on game night.
Yeah.
So I'm much happier 2 o'clock on Sunday being me.
Yeah,
than
yeah,
you. You
yeah.
don't have any lines, so you don't have
yeah,
to worry
nope,
about it.
No, nope, no. Nope. My job, I just have to get it up. Hopefully by tomorrow, my job is done.
I sang in a
that's
band.
I've never directed you know? Before, but that's got to be quite a feeling after all the work that goes in, and then you actually see it up there. What is that like?
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. But, you know, like me, I'm always, like, mentally taking notes.
Sure.
I'm like, nope, I'm not supposed to be telling anybody what to do.
There's
now,
something about when you all grab hands at the end, no matter who you are, and do that. That is so, like...
It's a moment.
That, you know, we got there. We made it.
Oh,
we made
it's
it,
great.
Right?
And this is a nice big cast, too, which is really great. Yeah. So it's great to take a nice big bow with a lot of people.
Well, I sang in a band for a long time, and remembering the words was always like, and there's melody, and you still...
Yeah, I think you can do it.
You can bring if forward you, a first
you're gonna
chorus
focus.
And the second one.
Yeah, we'll get you there. We'll get you there.
Miss Gacy in 11th grade gave me like a play, or like a poem I had to remember, and I could never do it. And from that moment forward... I just don't think I'm cut out for Broadway. You're Hollywood, you know?
You never know. You never know if you don't try.
This face.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I could do in our world? I could do like impromptu comedy, you know?
Like, yeah, I see like sketch
like improv.
Comedy.
I could do improv.
There you go.
I could improv.
There you go.
That's
okay.
What the show has been. I'm 35 That's years right. into this improv.
You have been doing improv.
And every yeah. time I do the show, I know I'm doing improv well because when I screenshot this, I'll find pictures of you smiling. Just like that. So I can put those up. So I do try to make people smile. But I'm working on AI. I know you're afraid of it. I'm going to create a caricature of myself and then feed it my voice, and it's going to work blue.
There you go.
Okay.
Like
that
a,
way
like,
you can...
like sort of a Dundalk version of Mickey Coachella. There is such a thing. Vanessa Eskridge here. Chris Reels here. You tell me where to find your tours. If anybody wants to really know Baltimore, this is your guy here. He'll be Edgar Allan Enpo.
Yeah, thanks, Ness. Yeah, the website's rentator.com, so it's real easy. RENTATOUR.com. And we do custom tours, whatever you want. Walking, buses. We've chartered water taxis before, so any way to tell stories about Baltimore, we're here for it and ready to go.
I did the Sopranos tour up in New Jersey, and at the end of the tour, we had cannoli.
There you go.
Bada bing. We went to the bada bing. We did all the stuff. And yeah. at the end, we got to meet like one of the B-level actors.
Wow.
And, you know, so I think at the end of your tour, you got to find, like, get Dan to do it. At the end of your tour, you get to hang out with Dan. What
that,
do you think?
That we could charge a lot for tickets.
I bet you
yeah,
could,
that,
is
yeah,
what
you
I'm
could.
Saying. You throw this in with the Baltimore You Have No Idea. So that's coming back in December.
It's coming
and
back
the,
in
is
December.
The court docket not happening?
We may bring it back. I don't know. So this is kind of like, you know, Dan calls it his Baltimore trilogy, right? Mm-hmm. Which is really, I think, pretty cool. You can kind of package that and do it again.
Don't lie to me. You haven't lied to me yet. You're honest. Did you tape that one? Is that on videotape?
No, we did not tape Baltimore Docket.
All right, because I was going
to We'll
hit
have
Will,
to do it again.
Because I want to see it, but
yeah.
if there was a,
it was
you
good.
Know,
it's a good
code
one.
For me to have one view, like yeah. on Netflix or something, I would go
yeah, but that's live theater. It happens, and then it's gone.
Mm.
All Unless right. we bring it back.
Catch it while you can. Dan Rogers right. is doing No Mean City. It is Baltimore 1966. We're here at the BMA, and... this exhibit they have here.
Did you see the Amy Sherrill?
Yeah.
It's sold out. I'm trying to get
there.
There
are just people everywhere.
I know. It's incredible.
It's been totally Baltimore positive things, right?
Yeah, it's what a gift for Baltimore
yep.
to have this exhibition here.
Yeah.
And obviously people are noticing because every time we've come for rehearsal, there's no place
oh,
to park.
Oh, it's packed. There's no place to park.
To
That's
wait
right.
to wait to park. I was
yeah.
going to say,
I know.
Waited,
wait to park.
I'm happy. Yeah. That's a good problem to have.
That was like Bob Uecker, baby. Front row. I got good parking tonight. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Harlem Globetrotter scratch-offs to give away. It's my first batch of these. They are dribbling over at UMBC later on. Our friends at GBMC have kept me alive and well. I actually have a doctor's appointment next month. It's crazy, okay. GBMC. We're also going to do a walk a mile in their shoes as well in April. I am committed to that on April the 17th, as well as our friends at Farnan and Dermer. I have to say that slowly because they're a sponsor, and they know I'm going to screw their name up. The Comfort Guys, they took care of me with our HVAC. And I hope some people win these. Every time I hold the Harlem Globetrotter, don't you hear...
Yeah, a little sweet Georgia Brown.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. We're at the BMA. We're at Gertrude's. My cousin owns the joint, and I'm not just saying this because he owns the joint. I had the best meal of the year thus far, and I am doing something pretty exotic next week that I'm not going to talk to Cassie about. but I'm doing something crazy next week, so pray for me. My passport. Right. What are all the people who aren't suicidal saying? I have no suicidal thoughts. I have no. Whatever that is.
Yes,
I wanna,
that's what you're
whatever
saying.
Whatever the disclaimer is.
Yes. Yeah.
That, yeah. Well, I'm using my passport, and I'm Hispanic, so, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes. Okay, well, be
that
careful.
That used to be a joke.
Yeah,
that's not a joke
funny.
Anymore.
Yeah,
I've seen Pam Bondi.
Well, that's exciting, though. I mean,
I've seen Pee Wee Germain do his thing, so nonetheless.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to have a meal that will eclipse the catfish I had today.
Oh, all right.
With the shrimp creole and the grits and the collard greens, but it's... They've raised
high.
The bar.
Yeah.
They've raised the bar here.
They know how to do it here.
And I didn't even know what I was. I knew the collard greens were going to be great, but it was unbelievable. Gertrude's, Gert, just like my Miss Gert was my neighbor. John Shields will be here later. We're going to talk to the folks at the BMA and talk about Amy Sherrill. But next up, Ron Cassie. Not chief, right? No, just
senior editor.
Only Max is the chief. She set me square on that last time. I took care of the chief last time out. I'll get the chief back on here. I have the chief's assistant. The chief's, what would the assistant be? Kemosabe, right? Is that Kemosabe? I don't know what it is.
I don't know.
Ron Cassie's coming on next. He's going to talk baseball, and it better not be anything to do with the Mets. Maybe the Mets have recruited you now with the Alonzo thing. Back for more at the BMA at Gertrude. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.